up 77 miles.
Yeah, pick up 77. When we get to the end, and we're at that D minor chord, what do we do next?
Do we sing that note? No, right? I'll let you think about
it. Just stay on the D minor. And then Hannah will give us...
to 76.
Keep the vibe, like, minimal on the D minor. And then when she gives us the pick
up... I imagine it's just the instrumental then, I guess.
Okay.
Brendan,
yes,
you...
yes. Oh, sorry. Got it. I got it.
Yeah.
We're not singing a note. Sorry. Well, you guys will all sing May We Love.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Okay. We are singing that. Gotcha.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's go talk for a second.
Guys, sorry. If we can just start all over.
Yeah.
And we have a little opening on the coffee ship. Can you start the May?
When do you want?
Welcome everyone to the table. My name is Brendan Lowe. I'm the music director here. Thank you guys so much for finding your way here with the California Marathon. Great job to all of you for doing that. We're really happy to have a decent amount of folks here in worship today. This is the second Sunday of Advent, and we remember that hope is still breaking in. Hope doesn't ignore fear. It meets us in it. It reminds us that something new is possible even when we can't see it yet. So as we gather today, may we breathe deeply, open our hearts, and make room for the quiet, steady hope that keeps showing up. Let us worship in that hope today. We have a call and response that I will ask you all to join with me in speaking, and I will have a part, and then you will have the all part. So, thank you, John. Family of faith, God is at work. God is healing and creating, redeeming and dreaming, calling and sending, listening and loving. Yes, indeed, God is at work. So may we worship our God who never gives up.
May we worship our God who holds on to hope.
Amen.
Oh, Israel. Why don't we just all pray this together? Am I good? Yeah. I called home my first semester of college. I told my mom I was fine, but I was homesick. She must have heard the truth in my voice. The ache ate at me. It was long, slow song, a million tiny ants slurping the juice from a peach. I was tender and bruised in the doldrums. So, three states away, three states away, she tossed blueberries in a thin layer of flour. Three states away, she dusted a layer of streusel over the soft peaks of a dozen warm muffins. And 3 days later, I unboxed a package from home, a dozen blueberry muffins, a love letter with my name on it, a reminder that I was not alone. Amen.
In a world full of fear, where do you see glimmers of peace?
I see glimmers of peace.
I see glimmers of peace in the quiet of early morning, when people shake hands, when loved ones say they're sorry, and when the church sings together.
You are right. Even in a fearful world, peace is all around us.
Today we light the candle of peace as a reminder of this good news. May this flicker of light help us remember that even in a fearful world, peace is present. We only have to look for it.
Thanks be to God. Amen. After lighting the Advent candle, we turn to O Day of Peace. This song helps us name the truth of the world Jesus entered and the world we're living in now, a world full of fear, uncertainty, and longing. As we sing, we hold on to the hope that even in fearful times, peace and hope are still possible and God is still breaking in.
Day of peace that dimly shines through all our hopes and prayers and dreams. Guide us to justice, truth, and love. Delivered from our selfish schemes, may swords of hate fall from our hands, our hearts of envy find release, till by God's grace, our warring world shall see Christ's promised reign of peace. Shall the wolf dwell in the lamb, nor shall the fierce devour the swarm, as beasts and cattle calmly graze, a little child shall lead them all.
Good morning. My name is Debbie Edgar. I'm the Director of Operations here at the table. My pronouns are she, her. We are so glad you're here today. It's that time in our service when we invite our children to move from this sanctuary to their godly play sanctuaries. Our musicians will help us with some very special walking music, and we'll sing our children on their way.
If you remember from last week, there's a new Advent verse, so just look up for the screen on the second verse.
Walking time, see me shine, kind and bright, I'm a ray of sunlight. Advent time, will shine purple light, waiting for the divine. Walking time, see me shine, kind and bright, I'm a ray of sunlight.
We have two godly play spaces at the table, one for kinders through second grade and one for third through sixth grade. Caregivers can pick up their children upstairs after worship. I'll remind families that we receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families experiencing homelessness. We have loving and professional care for our youngest children, those who are four and under, just down the hall, either in the A-frame or in the play yard, weather permitting. This is the time of year we invite you to prayerfully consider your deep commitments to God, our community of faith, and the communities we are called to serve in the coming year. You can find the 2026 deep commitment form on the church's website or by using this QR code. As we journey through Advent together, we have several resources that we hope you will find both encouraging and helpful. We've set up a dedicated page on our website to all things Advent. There you can find links to our Advent devotional, information about an Advent Bible study, and information about our Christmas offering. This morning, you can also go outside to our Advent resource table. This week and next week, our Advent resource table will be hosted by Betsy and Caroline, who lit our Advent candle this morning. Thank you. I encourage you to go out and say hello and learn more about our Advent resources and our Christmas offering. Next week, on December 14th, we'll be having our annual church conference. At this meeting, we will be reviewing the 2026 budget and pastoral compensation and hearing from our administrative board about the next steps in 2026. An agenda and documents for your review will be made available in the December 12th newsletter. The meeting will begin at 12:30 p.m. You may attend the church conference in person or via Zoom. To attend via Zoom, please register using the Church Center app or the QR code that's behind me, and a link will be sent to you. Child care will be available. Now I invite you to remain seated as we sing Mother of God. This song invites us deeper into the Advent story, the story of ordinary people facing extraordinary fear. Mary's courage didn't come from having all the answers, but from trusting that God was near. This song gives us space to breathe, to ask our own questions, and to remember that hope grows even in uncertainty.
Mary, full of grace, the Lord your God is with thee. Blessed are you, bless all the world. Mary, peace is yours, the Spirit is upon you. You will be with child, do not fear. Mother of God, your baby boy will grant us peace. Your baby boy will grant us peace. Word made flesh, born of Virgin Mary.
Good morning on this second Sunday of Advent. My name is Bob Martinez. My pronouns he and him. Our reading this morning is from the 43rd chapter of Isaiah and also from the 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition. I am about to do a new thing, and now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. And from Matthew's gospel, we're going to change things up a little bit. For our gospel reading today, we will sing the story, Go Tell You the Baptist What Jesus Has Done. It retells Matthew chapter 11 to the tune of Away in the Manger. And as we sing, we join John's question and the hope that even in uncertain times, God is still at work.
Good morning. My name's Reverend Penny Adams, and I'm a retired clergy member of the Western Pennsylvania Conference of the United Methodist Church. My pronouns are she and her. And I'm glad to be with you here this morning. My wife Bev and I have been attending here at the table since 2013, and it's my privilege to bring the message this morning. But as I start, Tarni, could you get me a glass of water, please? Thank you. Dry mouth already. This Advent season, many of us find ourselves somewhere between nostalgia and cynicism. We feel that tug of Christmas past, where we are encouraged to wander through the memories of olden days, happy golden days of yore. Or we are inspired to dream of a white Christmas, just like the ones we used to know. When I was a little child growing up in Pennsylvania, I remember how disappointed we would be if it ended up being a brown Christmas instead of a white Christmas. I, for one, sometimes get caught up in those memories when Christmas decorations start going up or when my favorite time of year happens, that the Hallmark movies start coming back with the Christmas movies, so I can watch them every day, maybe one, two, or three, depending on how long Bev will let me have the TV to watch. there's so much emotional freight, thank you. So much emotional freight. It's a time of gladness. It's a time of remembering, a time of family traditions. But for many of us here today, it may be a time of painful nostalgia at best, or biting cynicism at worst. Perhaps beloved friends and family members have died, or families have split themselves apart by divorce, or by distance, or by lingering problems and deep worries that don't easily give way to the holly jollies of this Advent season. And so often we find ourselves with a note of ambivalence, if not just downright cynicism, in our hearts. We live in a world that's marred by brokenness and uncertainties. We witness to the fact and the effects that that pain and brokenness bring, and that they inflict upon us both as individuals and as a community, whether it's ICE raids that are happening around us, or a reduction in SNAP benefits, or the raising of affordable care rates so high that they're no longer affordable. It's easy for us to become overwhelmed by the darkness and to feel that sense of fear and hopelessness in the face of it all. And that fear and hopelessness is no more present than it is in prison. In the early 1980s, when I was a seminary student, I worked for 3 years in a prison in Lebanon, Ohio, which is just south of Dayton, as a career and educational counselor. It was my job to help inmates who were about 6 months to a year from parole to find schools or trade schools or colleges in the towns that they were going to be paroled to. And then I was to also help them look for possible sources of financial aid to help pay for that schooling once they were out of prison. Now, many of the inmates would be excited about the prospect of going up before the parole board and possibly getting out and beginning a new life and beginning school again on the outside, as they always called it. But there were also those inmates like Don. Now, Don was a somewhat model prisoner. He had a job as a clerk in the college in the prison. He had completed his associate's degree in computer engineering and business while he was behind bars. He worked long hours as a tutor for many of the inmates. If you just got to know Don, he was an all-around good guy. But whenever Don would go up before the parole board, the parole board would just simply say to him, "Son, you haven't done the time yet." And Don would get so discouraged, and he wasn't sure if he was ever going to get out of that prison. But whenever time would come again for him to go up before the parole board, he would often come to my office, and we would talk about what he was expecting from that meeting. And I once said to him, "Don, why do you keep going up before the parole board? Aren't you discouraged by that, going up time and time again and just having them say no?" And he said, "Well, maybe they'll say yes this time. I've got hope." Theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book God is in the Manger, said that a prison cell in which one waits and hopes is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside. And that is not a bad picture of Advent. In life, we often find ourselves caught up between fear and hope, especially during challenging times. This tension is a common experience for many of us, as fear can easily overshadow hope. Throughout Scripture, God consistently speaks hope into fear through God's promises. Isaiah's prophecy that Bob read for us this morning calls for spiritual preparation, urging us to clear the obstacles in our hearts that prevent God and his hope from taking root. This preparation is not just about behavioral change, but it's about transformation of our hearts. And even though we may feel like we're in the middle of an experience that's scary or uncertain, whether that's in our own lives or in the lives of the world around us, there are moments of reminding ourselves of the hope that is ours because of God and of God's love for us. And what we see time and time again is that ultimately God speaks hope into fear. Fear and foreboding reign supreme in the news headlines and in the hearts of our day. As I said before, natural disasters, international and civil wars, immorality, anxieties, ICE raids, senseless killings all spread out around the globe and in our neighborhoods. It's easy for us to get overwhelmed by the darkness, to feel that sense of fear and hopelessness in the face of it all. One of the great dangers of imprisonment is depression. And the men in the Bible were prone to it as much as anyone else. To be cut off from the open air and the everyday scenes, to be forced into idleness or into tedious occupations, were burdens that were not borne easily, especially by men of an active disposition. And so for John the Baptist, who had wandered the wilderness and who had proclaimed the gospel to the thousands of people, prison must have felt like a heavy burden. Perhaps he longed for the expected ascendancy of the Messiah, which would liberate him. But as we know, Jesus did not claim the throne of David during those days. So it's little wonder then that John began to question the validity of Christ, although he had previously testified regarding him. So by the time we meet up with John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11, he is no longer that bold prophet in the wilderness who is dressed in camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey and crying out in a deep voice, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." No. The John we meet is a prisoner. He's held under Herod's authority. He's cut off from the movement that he helped to ignite. His firebrand voice had been silenced. And in its place, we find a question that's carried by his disciples to Jesus. John asks, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" And you know, it's not just a question. It's a cry from the edges of despair. John, the prophet who baptized Jesus, who had declared Jesus to be the Lamb of God, was now unsure. And in the dim light of his underground jail cell, with his execution hanging on the balance of the horizon, there was little hope for John. John didn't ask for a miracle. John asked whether his whole life, whether his ministry, his message, and the risks that he took meant anything. And I think that's a question that many of us ask, especially when our efforts for justice and truth feel fruitless. Every protest, after every election, after every vigil, after every prayer for peace that seems unanswered, we ask, did it matter? Did I get it wrong? Was any of it worth it? That's not a doubt that's born of cynicism. It is the trembling that comes from the conviction as it meets suffering. When the cost of faithfulness has been high and the fruit of the faithfulness appears to be very small. It's what hope sounds like, according to Dr. Bo-Young Lee, when hope is running thin. So how does Jesus respond to John? Not with chastisement, not with a lecture, Jesus doesn't say, oh, John, you should know better. But instead, Jesus answers rather indirectly with the witness of what is unfolding. He says to the disciples, go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. So Jesus points not to a grand victory, but to the quiet signs of transformation. He doesn't hand John certainty, but he invites John to perceive God at work. It's a reorientation towards Isaiah's vision. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? The empire is still intact. Herod still reigns. John will not be released from prison. And yet Jesus insists that God's dream is unfolding. Look again, listen, perceive. What is powerful in this moment is not that Jesus performs miracles, but that he frames them as evidence of God's reign at work, an alternative kingdom that is not marked by coercion or fear, but one marked by healing and liberation and good news for the marginalized. Matthew lifts up Jesus not as a new Caesar, but as the agent of God's redemptive transformation. Those who perceive the signs understand what kind of Messiah has come. For those in prison today, whether it's literally or metaphorically speaking, because of their prophetic witness, this passage offers both solace and a challenge. Hope in the gospel is not grounded in outcomes or visible success. Hope is rooted in perception, a trusting in God that God is still at work, even when systems remain unchanged, even when prophets die behind bars. The ministry of John the Baptist is validated in the statements of Jesus, the one who the world had been waiting for, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. And our hearts quicken, our expectations rise as the time of Christ's appearance draws closer. I believe that John's question echoes across the generations. Are you the one, or are we to look for another? Activists, caregivers, clergy, organizers, artists, anyone who has dared to hope in a better world knows this moment. The fear that nothing has changed, the grief that our lives might not have mattered, the silence of the people or the institutions we hoped would be transformed. And still, Jesus affirms John, not despite his question, but through his question. Jesus doesn't see John's crumbling hope as failure. Jesus names it as a part of what makes John faithful. This is a pastoral word for us. Dr. Boyoung Lee says that hope that trembles is still hope. Even in doubt, John is still a prophet. Even in fear, John is still beloved. Advent does not require us to manufacture hope. It invites us to bring our emptied hope to Jesus, to ask the hard questions, and to listen again for the signs of God's nearness. When we're running out of hope, it may be the perfect time for us to ask, what do you see? What do you hear? And to trust that somewhere, even now, something new is springing forth. The key words of Advent are waiting and hope. We find ourselves in a season of waiting as a congregation here at the table. Pastors Greg and George are here and have been guiding us through a transition process from despair to hope. It's taken months of healing as we've grown from what the childhood years have looked like here at the table into what the table might look like as we engage in ministry in our adolescent years, as a new church, and finally the hope of what we will one day become as a mature church known as the table. May we find hope in the coming light of Christ, and let it not be confined to our hearts, but let it spill over into our actions. As we continue this Advent journey, and as we navigate the complexities of life, let the light within us guide us and comfort us. And as others witness the radiance of our hope, may they be drawn to the source of God's unwavering light. Let our hope be not just an internal flame, but a shining beacon proclaiming the transformative power of God's unwavering light that has come into this world. Amen. Here at the table, gathering around the Lord's table, there's enough room, there's enough food, there's enough love for everyone. Here at the table, you are wanted and you are welcomed. You are safe and you are loved. Here at the table, you belong. So my friends, there's no need to fear here, for this is a joyful feast and you are invited. Come, for all are welcome.
Family of faith, we lay our hearts before God. We pour out the truth of our lives. So like John the Baptist in our times of despair, we too have asked Jesus, did I make a mistake? Am I making a difference? Does it really matter? So I invite you to stand in body or in spirit and join me as we invite God to draw closer, to break in right here, right now. So let us pray together with one voice. On the move, God, we have every reason to hold on to hope. We have every reason to believe that spring will come, that flowers will bloom, that the sun will rise, and yet too often, hope slips through our fingers. With anxious hearts, we cry out to you. Will change ever come? Will things ever get better? Will I ever make a difference? Soothe our wandering hearts and show us the places where the sun is shining. Show us the places where you are on the move. With our open hearts, we pray. Amen.
Remember that even when we doubt, God's presence, even when we fail to notice God's fingerprints in the world, God is always moving closer to us. So hear and believe the good news of this Advent season. Nothing can keep us away from God's love, for we are seen and we are forgiven. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Let us recognize and celebrate the presence of Christ within every neighbor. May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And now I invite you to share signs of peace with those around you.
Peace of Christ be with you, Greg.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm just a habit for getting older.
It's not a problem. Not at all.
And also with you,
lift up our hearts,
we lift up the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of starlight, there are days when beauty catches us by surprise. There are days when joy bubbles up inside of us, when hope grows wings and soars beyond us. When love is so big and so real that it is all that we can see. There are days when it all seems right in the world, but not every day. There are those other days, God, when like John the Baptist, we find ourselves wondering where we can go from here. Where we find ourselves wondering if we really made a difference or if change was lost in all that was going on. But today, we ask that you speak your words of hope again and break through that chatter and distraction of our weary minds and speak to us once more. And then, like the heavenly host, we will sing our thanksgivings.
Holy, holy, holy. God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest.
God of sunlight, when the weight of the world presses in on us, when injustice and suffering feel like the dominant narrative, when hope begins to slip through our hands, run toward us. Remind us that the birds that will sing in the morning. Remind us of the flowers that push through thawing ground. Remind us of the groups of people that have always made a difference. Remind us of this church, the work we have done together, the work of our hands that are capable, the love our heart already knows. And as you do, we will continue to remind each other of your presence in our world, and we will sing a new song.
Christ has died. Christ has risen. For us, replace the fear on our tongues with words of hope and songs of joy. As we come to this table, pour out your spirit on this bread and this cup. Remind us that even in a fearful world, you are on the move. You are here inviting us to the table, nourishing our spirits, reminding us that we belong, calling us by name. Instill this hope and good news in us, for this is a joyful feast.
God, beside us, the hurt and longing in this world is enough to leave us speechless at times. So just as you did for John the Baptist, speak to us. Remind us that we are not alone and that our prayers have been heard. And as you do and as we wait, we join our voices together in this contemporary translation of the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, O God,
creative breath of heaven and earth,
in the roar and whisper, in the breeze and the whirlwind, we hear your name.
Help us let go,
clear the space inside, creating a holy place within for your light to shine. Unite our I can to yours, so that we walk in unity with every creature and your creation. Give us the food we need to grow through each new day. Produce in us the wisdom and understanding we need at each new stage of our lives. Help us to let go of our past, the hidden guilt of our failures, just as we consistently release others of the knots of their guilt. Let us not become lost in busyness, in the surface appearance of things, but free us from what holds us back. May abundance and fertile growth and glorious harmony return again and again in each new age. May this be the ground from which all our actions grow. Amen.
Loving God, pour out your spirit on this table, on this simple bread and juice, remembering the simple meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, as he continues to share with us today. For the thing we fear most is distance from you. So draw us near to you in this moment. Fill this room with your spirit and this table with your Jesus love. Amen.
I invite you to be seated. As we all know, all are welcome to the table of God's love. In the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all people, to those of us who have a lifelong practice of celebrating communion, those who are new to the practice, and all of those in between, because all really does mean all. We encourage those at home watching us virtually to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form they might have. Please know that whether you're online or here in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or of any denomination to come to the table. We are all God's children, and this is God's table, and it's open to all. And so we're all invited to participate. We'll have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back of the sanctuary. Each station has freshly made bread and gluten-free crackers and juices in the cup. We invite you to take a piece of bread or a cracker and dip it into the juice. Then please make your way around the sides to pray with candles for as long as you might desire, and then return to your pews when you're ready. Let us move together with tender care in this divine dance.
This is the body of Christ, the bread of life broken for you. And this is God's love poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Body of Christ. Amen.
Pray with me now. Loving God, in a world racked with fear, you gather us together. You set the table, you meet us here. You nourish our bodies as you nourish our spirits. You remind us that this is a joyful feast and that fear cannot win. So with renewed courage, with renewed hope, with renewed conviction, send us out into the world. Help us to feed others as you have fed us. And with deep gratitude, we pray. Amen. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to join in giving generously to support the ministries at the table. You see, we invest in our community because we know it makes a difference, and the generosity of this community allows us to lean into God's unfolding call in our lives and align more deeply with God's healing love and justice that we know how bad the world longs for it. We encourage you to make a gift today by placing a check in the offering plate or by giving online at thetableumc.org. And I just want to take a moment to say how honored I have been today to have Pastor Penny with us. And I know that you're here almost every Sunday, but to hear the word preached by you was a very special moment for me. Thank you so much. As we go from this place, let's open up. Let's open up and let it become our Advent prayer, a prayer that even when fear arises, our hearts would stay open, open to hope, hope for the hopeless, open to one another, open to the new thing God is already stirring. May we leave here today ready to see and hear the signs of God's nearness in our world. Let us stand as we are able and sing together.
Let me
in a fearful world, may you look for God's Spirit. May you reach for each other's hands. May you choose courage whenever you can. And in all things, may you remember that good news is louder than fear. In the name of the one who calls you, the one who sends you, and the one who journeys with you, go in peace and be not afraid. Amen.